Last week we saw about perceiving in the Spirit of God. And let's look at the book of Acts chapter 14 again. The book of Acts chapter 14. And we see in verse 8 and verse 9, it says, "And in Lystra a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently, seeing that he had faith to be healed." And we mentioned that the word seeing is the word oida, which means to perceive, or to, as is translated here, to see. And we recognize that it's not just seeing in the natural realm, but it's seeing in the spirit realm. And the word oida points to the eyes of the spirit. We have mentioned how the spirit man has five senses, just like the natural man. There is the sense of sight, the sense of hearing, the sense of smell, the sense of touch, and the sense of taste. So the spirit man has also the same five senses. There is a spiritual sense of seeing, spiritual sense of hearing, spiritual sense of touch, taste, and smell. And we mentioned how that among the most important senses are the senses of seeing and hearing. So that's the word oida here, that obviously Paul was perceiving in the spirit. He was seeing something in the spirit and not just in the natural. For you cannot see faith in the natural, just like that. When you look at a person, you cannot just see faith in the natural. How can the natural see faith unless faith is acted out? But this man in Acts 14 has not acted his faith out yet. He's just lying down there, crippled from his mother's womb. All you can see is him lying down. That's all. But Paul, as he was ministering the word, he saw this person. His spirit contacted the person, and he knew that faith has risen in the person. And that's what we need to perceive. We need to sense, be able to sense. Spirit communicate to spirit just as soul communicate to soul. See, there's no way I could physically touch your spirit. There's no way. You could take a person, right, and try to find life in the person, cut him into pieces, and you cannot find where that source of life is. There's no way that my natural hands can touch his spirit. There's no way. There's no communion between flesh and spirit. The only way for my spirit to contact your spirit is through my spirit, that I could contact and I could perceive what is going on in your spirit. It's just like, how do I know what's going on in your mind? By the communication that you speak forth through your mind, your words. So, we have a certain level of communication. Just as soul contacts soul, body to body, spirit contacts spirit. And Paul's spirit resonates within him, and he knew that there is faith in this person. He could pick it up in his spirit. We talk about perceiving in the spirit. The other verse that we have seen is in the book of Acts, chapter 23, verse 6. "But when Paul perceived that one part was Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, 'Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged.'" Now, we mentioned last week that there's the word oida, but it's actually the word ginosko, and that word has been used of Jesus knowing. That's the only word that is used of the Apostle Paul perceiving. There are three times, if you remember, Acts 14, Acts 23, Acts chapter 27. And each time a different word is used. Here is the word ginosko, which is used most frequently of the Lord Jesus. Ginosko means that the perception reaches the mind. See, sometimes you perceive something, but you don't know what you perceive. See, there are three levels of knowing. Ginosko is the word that is translated as know. Know. It's from the word where you get the word knowledge. Ginosko. And you can know some things in the natural. You can know some things in the soul area. And you can know some things in the spirit area. Just like, for example, you could know, right, whether his shirt is smooth or rough. So it's smooth, and there's just the lines a bit rough, right? I know. How do I know it? That knowledge is transmitted through my senses. Praise God. We are glad you're back. Praise the Lord. And I could know whether his hands are smooth or his hands are rough, right? Some people has a rough hand, some people have smooth hand, depending on their work. Praise God, it's smooth hand. And praise the Lord. And could I have your hand, please? Praise the Lord. So, this one is rough, right? So some people's hands are rough, some people's hands are smooth. When I shake hands with someone, right, it's good to know, right? Now, your hand, of course, is no reflection of your character. Some people, right? And doesn't mean you're rough, right? You rough? No, you're gentle. And so, I have natural knowledge through my natural body. I could know some things in the natural through my body. So, there's a knowing that comes through the natural man. And we know there's knowledge that comes through the natural man. Then there is a knowledge that comes through the soul. Like we know, there are radio waves in the air. How do we know that? We are taught. And there are experiments. And we realize that if we have a radio receiver, we would be able to pick up some signals in the air. But we know that these are not things we could touch. There are TV signals in the air. We cannot touch them. We cannot feel them in the natural. How did we know we are there? They are there. Because science has an invention to show that it exists. It's there. How do we know that there is air? Because science has experimented, and the experiments bring what we have in the invisible realm, in a natural invisible realm, into a realm that we could see and show the effect of that material that is invisible. So we are taught and we are trained, and there is a knowledge that comes to the soul. There is a knowing that comes in the soul that is different from the knowing in the natural. Then there is a higher degree of knowing that comes in the spirit. Sometimes in the spirit we know certain things, and yet we don't know. We say we know, but we don't know.
For example, we say we know this is the right thing to do, but we don't fully understand or know why. The spiritual knowledge comes ahead of the natural knowledge. Now let me show in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul mentions about this knowing in the spirit realm. We're talking about how to be led by the Spirit, and we are describing in greater detail the perception by the spirit man. Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 19, it says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled we all the fullness of God. Now, isn't it marvelous to know the love of Christ, which is unknowable? There's a perception that comes in our spirit. There's a knowing that comes in the spirit, but our mind does not know yet. So we are to know some things in the spirit that are not normally known in the natural realm. And being led by the Spirit is being sensitive to that spiritual impartation of knowing that God gives to us. And that perception of knowing and perceiving some things, is a knowing that is either a hearing or a seeing. Something that you perceive in the Spirit. But when that perception, remember there are three levels of knowing. You know in the natural, you know in the soul, or you know in the spirit. When the knowing includes the soul, they always use the word ginosko. When the knowing translates into the soul realm, it's important for us to know in the spirit, but we can know in the spirit but don't know in the natural, and we find it quite difficult to act out what the spirit is saying to us. Our spirit may pick up some things, but we know it not what it is. It could be a burden in the spirit. It could be a grieving in the spirit. It could be something that you're troubled. Your spirit is troubled, but you're not sure what it is. And it can be quite frustrating at times. So the only thing you can do is to pray in tongues. To enter into intercession and just pray in tongues. And pray in tongues. As the spirit wills and as we grow to be sensitive to the spirit of God, the Holy Spirit will translate whatever the revelation is in the spirit realm into the soul realm, and then understanding comes. When understanding comes, then you use the word ginosko. So Paul knew. He perceived in the spirit, and he knew in his mind. So they could use the word ginosko. There are some times that you could perceive in your spirit alone, then you could only say that either, or you see some things in the spirit that you don't quite understand. You don't quite understand fully. As sometimes we are talking about how we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. We are teaching how to be led by the Spirit. You could pick up things in people's spirit as you yield to the Spirit of God. And you may not fully understand it. You may not fully understand why. The knowledge has not come. Ginosko did not take place yet. Only oida. You pick it up in the Spirit of God. And in all situations, your spirit is always receiving. Just like we could receive in the natural, we could receive in the soul, we could receive in the spirit realm. It's happening all the time. Whether you hear it right now or not, there are signals in the air, radio signals, TV signals. There is sound out there in a different level which our ears cannot pick up. We need an electrical receiver to translate it into natural sound for us to perceive it. But it is out there. And there are always spiritual signals being sent. There are always spiritual phenomena taking place. I mean, the spirit world is as real as the natural world, if not more real, because it's eternal. The spirit world is an eternal realm. The natural world is a temporary realm. And there are always things going on in the spirit. There could be an angel moving here, an angel going there, and on your way you could have run over a demon or something. And so there are always perceptions that are there in the spirit. We realize that this world is not only inhabited by human beings, it is inhabited by our guardian angels. They are all sent to guard us, and there are also alien entities called demonic spirits which are also inhabiting this world. So when we walk out on the street, you may not see it in the natural, but there could be demons running loose. Howard Pickman, that's his name, we are still trying to get him over. He says that one day God took him into the spirit realm, and in the spirit realm, he was taken into the demonic world for God to show him what the demonic world was like. And after showing him what was there in the heavenly places, God brought him down to this earth. And he stood in, his spirit stood, so nobody saw him, his spirit stood in, or rather at, a petrol pump. And he said that as the cars passed by to have their petrols fill up, their petrol tank fill up, there are demon spirits that gather there. And they look around, and sometimes they hop into a car.
And so you pick up the pattern, you pick up the demons. Now please don't get too extreme. Say, next time I do not want to go to a petrol pump anymore. The demon spirit is there. You are a believer. Right? We have authority over them. And the angels always following our lives. So you can imagine when the demon, you know, takes one look at the believer, tongue talking, right? Bible carrying, hand laying, right? Worshipping the Lord. And say, drive in. The demon say, watch out! And scatter. And it's important for us to have a realization that there are demon spirits out there. And what happened is that our spirit is perceiving all the time. It perceives. Sometimes as you enter into a place, you could perceive. You could perceive angelic being. I would know it if an angel came in. If a different angel than a normal guardian angel. We realize there are many types of angels. Worship angels, guardian angels are called ministering spirits. And there are warring angels. And there are archangels, messenger angels. Many types of angels. And if during the course of ministry, special angels are sent, we could pick it up in our spirit if we are sensitive. Or if there's a demonic interference, you could pick it up. We remember when we were in the hotel days that once we had a visit from a demon. You remember how it was like? I mean, that the worship could not take off. And everyone doing their best. Paying the price. And there was just that odd, peculiar atmosphere. And in my spirit, as I look over, you know, in that hotel, there was this demon spirit that was right there at the entrance, watching, or rather staring. And they have a certain atmosphere. And although people cannot see in the spirit realm, yet I saw that the very moment there was a breakthrough, it was also when the demon left. There was a release in the spirit. Now, it's not all the time caused by that. Sometimes, a reason why worship cannot take off could be because of natural reasons. But there are spiritual reasons too. So our spirit can pick up things in the spirit, we may not understand what it is. At the day we understand in the soul, our soul began to perceive some understanding and explanation for our spirit man, that's the word ginosko. And you will know how to approach, how to flow into that realm. Paul knew it in the natural. He knew exactly what to say, what to do. See, when you perceive in the spirit like Oida in Acts chapter 14, for ministry is very useful. When you lay hands on a person and you pray for them, your spirit can perceive whether it goes through them or not. Your spirit can perceive that. And every time I pray for a person, I know whether power goes through or not. I would know whether it goes through or not. Through that perception, through that oida, that you could see and you could perceive in the spirit. And sometimes when you pray for somebody, you sense in your spirit there was no flow. Even in conversing with people, you know whether there's a flow or not. You know the right time to witness or not. See, we're talking about how to be led by the Spirit in the practical details of life. We could pick up in the Spirit whether someone is ready for harvest or not. As you share the word, you could perceive how well the word is getting into a person. These are all spiritual perceptions that we must pay attention to and not neglect. Besides oida that we have described, Jesus goes a higher level than Paul's perception in Acts chapter 14. We have mentioned in Luke chapter 8, there is a different word in Luke chapter 8, Gospel of Luke. Chapter 8, verse 46. Somebody touch me, for I perceive power going out from me. Now here's the different word perceive is epigenosko. Epigenosko. Jesus perceived
with the natural mind, to his natural mind or his soul perceive what his spirit perceive also. If just the word oida is just the word the spirit perceiving and picking up some things. It's important for us to know what that some things are. If we do not know, what shall we do? If it's only oida and not ginosko, then we need to pray and pray until it translates into the soul realm. We cannot act on something that much unless it translates into the soul realm. Unless it's just a general perception of the flow or the power of God. I hear Jesus perceive, and notice that Jesus was looking around for the person. It says here, Jesus said, "Somebody touch me, for I perceive power going out from me." And the woman saw that she was not hidden. She came trembling. Now I want you to notice, she saw that she was not hidden. You notice that? I mean, Jesus sort of could be paying attention to her. Now let's cross-reference in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 32. Same incident recorded by the Gospel of Mark. And he looked around to see who? Say her. He knew it was the her and he knew where she was. That is why the Bible used the word epigenosko. He looked around to see her.
Who has done those things. Let's get it on the Greek New Testament so I don't get mixed up with all those words. Sometimes I get mixed up on which Greek word is which. Luke chapter 8. Verse 46.
Yes, Jesus in chapter 8, verse 46 of Luke, this is what the English Bible says. Luke chapter 8, verse 46 again. Need two hands to preach sometimes. Luke chapter 8, verse 46. And it says, Jesus said, "Somebody touch me, for I perceive power going out from me." So Jesus talked about a physical touch that came upon him. The word power, incidentally, is the word dunamin, which is from the word dunamis.
And yes, Jesus again know, which is from the word, a development of the word ginosko. And Jesus perceived that there was power, he knew. See, it's from the word again known, which is the development of the word perceive, the word know. That would include the soul. Jesus knew. And based on Mark chapter 5 that we've seen, he knew some details. He knew it was a her, and possibly, because of what Luke says in verse 47, that the woman seeing that she was not hidden. That means Jesus, and this is what happened, that Jesus was walking, his robes were long, and this woman touched her from somewhere. There was a great crowd. You couldn't pick up who is in the crowd. But there was a great crowd, and this woman just touched and she got healed, and there was power flowing out. Jesus stopped for a split second and said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples of God say, "Everybody is touching you, etc., etc. You know, all this in the natural." But there was a touch that had faith. And what happened, I believe this is the picture. Jesus turned around and he was seeing, staring, looking directly, eyeball to eyeball, face to face at the woman. He knew it. She knew it, they didn't know it. That's how the woman seeing Jesus eyeball to eyeball saw that she was not hidden. Jesus could have picked her up if he wanted to.
But that's the gentleness of our Lord. He never forces. He never compels. He never pushes. He prefers a voluntary stepping forward. And this woman, seeing that she was not hidden, that Jesus knew it was her. In Mark chapter 5, point clearly, Jesus knew. He was looking around for her. That is a very strong measure of perception. He perceived the power. He knew where it was flowing. Now let's give an example of when the word of knowledge operates. It can operate at different levels. It can operate at oida or gnosko, epignosko. The perception. As a minister functions in a word of knowledge, or as you counsel someone as you're praying, and you're receiving a word of knowledge from the Lord, you could be receiving just in the spirit. It always starts in the spirit. Remember that. Perception starts in the spirit man. You could see some things in the spirit. And as you perceive some things, see, like I walk nearby, if I open my spirit, I could pick up some problems. See? You could pick up things. And so your spirit could perceive some things. Right? And as I walk past it, because I opened my spirit for that word knowledge to function, then your spirit can begin to pick up things. It comes as a spirit wheel. You cannot force it, you cannot make it, you cannot manufacture it, it just comes. Right? And you're having a financial burden in your life, and God says that He's going to meet that need, right? You feel that strain, right? It's not being on you. And so that perception, right, you could pick up whether someone is in sickness or who has a need in a particular area. You could pick it up in the spirit. And as the spirit picking up, it starts in the spirit. Sometimes you just pick up some things. Like, for example, you could pick up generally. You could pick up generally whether a person, whether there is flow or no flow, or rather, how should I put it? I'm running out of words to describe these things in the spirit. You could pick up whether there is a need of certain ministry in a certain area or not, or they just free flow. Right? Or rather, whether someone is in a valley, halfway up the mountain, or on the mountain. Like, that's quite general. That's quite general. To pick up whether some... See, every one of us have to walk through the valleys at time. We have to climb the mountains at time. Sometimes we are on the mountain enjoying, basking in the glory of God.
Our life journey has mountains, valleys, tunnels, and mountaintop experiences. But our spiritual life should never be affected. It should always be a free flow. I'm talking about there's a natural things that we go through life. Right? There are some times that you're halfway in a project. Sometimes you've completed a project. So life is like that. It consists of many, many, many fruit-bearing seasons. See, there is a season. Otherwise, the Bible won't talk about be faithful in season and out of season. The Bible recognizes seasons. There are spiritual seasons. Psalm chapter 1 talks about how those who are faithful in the Lord, meditating on the Word of God daily, that they shall bear fruit in their season. There's a season for fruit bearing. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 1 to 3, Jesus says, "Abide in me, that every branch that abide in me will bear much fruit." Right? And the branch that does not bear fruit, He will cut off, He will remove. But He says, the branch that bears fruit, He will what? He will prune, He will clean, He will cut, so that it will bear much fruit. Now there's nothing wrong with walking through the valleys. Because a valley is where you challenge Goliath. A valley is where you overcome the enemy. So that we could apply what we learn on the mountaintops. So there will be that. It does not mean that our life is this way, you know. Yo-yo. It rather means the challenges we face, the opportunities we face in God. Apparently from John chapter 15, that is very clear in verse 2, verse 1 and 2, that every branch in me that bears fruit. Now we understand about the branch that don't bear fruit is thrown off.
But isn't it marvelous to know that the branch that bears fruit also gets cut? That means there's a season for pruning. There's a season for pruning. There's a season where you're tested. So there are seasons, right? We have make it clear that there are seasons in the spirit realm. And so we're talking about general perception here. You could sometimes perceive whether a person is basking in a mountaintop, a valley, or halfway up the mountain, or they're just about to enter in into something. You could pick it up, right? Like, right, our brother here, right? So I do not know any details yet, but I could pick up that he has fought the fight of faith, and he has gone through a certain experience, right? But he has kept his faith. He has continued on in the Lord. And he's gone through a tremendous trial. And he's now about halfway up that mountain. Right? He just came through something great. Isn't that right? He came through a tremendous experience. And the worst of it has been over. See, there's a grab. The worst of it has been over. And he's beginning to find that he's reaching forward into something. That he's about halfway up that mountain. And he'll get his mountaintop experience. After he basks in the mountaintop experience, there will be more challenges to face. You get down to fight more Goliaths, more giants in God. And Christian life is like that. So that's what I call general perception. You just perceive it generally. But now as I speak about it, from oida, perceiving in the spirit, it gets into ginosko. Where I begin to pick up that there are battles in the spirit realm. There's some nights that you are woken by the Lord. It seems to be a tremendous spiritual battle. I begin to perceive exactly what it is. It's not so much like hers, right? That is clear cut, financial. But this looks like the demon powers. You're wrestling with them. And God has been speaking to you to wrestle in that realm. And you have overcome them. And you're overcoming them. You're on the way up. Praise the Lord. Spiritual battles. Different from hers. Different kind of problems. So from just a normal perception, we could spend time and go very, very deep and go further. And that's what happens sometimes, like when I operate the word on knowledge, what I receive is just something from the spirit, from God. See, we serve God with our spirit. The spirit works with the Holy Spirit, which we're going to see in the next week, the voice of the Holy Spirit. This is the last session on the voice of the human spirit. Right? We have gone through a long session, detail, breaking it down. And work with the voice of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes there's a vision. But if I see a vision, right, I try in a crowd to look for the exact person I see in a vision. But if the crowd is too big, you find it very hard to find the person. See, let's say there are different ways of operating the word of knowledge. That's called diversities of operation. A word of knowledge could come like through a vision. And I see a person and I could describe the person. The color of the skin, the dress they're wearing or the shirt they're wearing, and describe a person. Sometimes I know a person's name. But if the crowd is big, it's going to be a very long time. Sometimes I try looking for the person. Right? Looking for someone who fit that vision that you see. And sometimes, you could try the natural to feed. If there are 1,000 people out there, it's very hard to feed the right person. You go to screen through one by one. It's time consuming. And so we rely on what we call this, as it gets into epigenosco, sometimes you could feel and sense through your spirit a perception of a direction it's coming from. That's more detailed. When you begin to sense the direction, then you know where the person is sitting. But it takes time to open yourself to that. That's what I mean. It takes time to open yourself to be specific. It could be general, it could be specific. Even Catherine Kuhlman, when she operates, there are many times she gives very accurate and precise description of where a person is sitting, even on what they are, where their position and what kind of sickness they are. But sometimes she just gives generally. Because to move specifically, you need to have a free flow to flow into that area. And that is where we are talking about moving between oida and ginosko, epigenosko, the flow of the Spirit of God. And we need to our soul need to be renewed to function and know the things of the Spirit. The purpose of the soul is that the soul would serve the Spirit, not to run off on its own. Let's look at the Bible in the Gospel of Book of Acts, chapter 27, and we see the other word theorio, Acts chapter 27, verse 10. Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and sheep, but also our lives. This word perceive, although in the English Bible you just read perceive, in Acts 14, Acts 23, Acts 27, the Greek has three different Greek words. Marvelous. Three different Greek words. This is the word theorio. The word theo, we realize, is tied up to God from the word theos. Rio, it's just receiving. We link up to the word horao, which is found in Acts 8, Peter perceiving Simon the magician is in the gall of bitterness. But here God is involved. Theo Rio. Now when he speaks about Theo Rio, usually it includes some measure, right? Some measure of the voice of the Spirit. Where the Spirit, that we realize there's a difference between the voice of the human spirit and the voice of the Holy Spirit. Theorio can include, it doesn't all the time, depending on the context, but in this context, we see that Paul knew that the voyage was in danger. If that is so, having done his best to tell the captain of the ship and the captain of the soldiers, he was a prisoner. Why didn't he panic? Why didn't he prepare to die? Because there seems to be a perception of what God is going to do, which later on we see Paul make this statement when what he said came to pass. In the book of Acts 27, verse 23, "For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and in it God has granted you all those who sail with you." Now Paul seems to know what is coming to pass. If you operate just in a natural in Acts 27, you would not believe Paul. How can you say that? The winds are lovely, the waters are calm. Everything in the natural. Remember that even the captain of the ship, discerning in the natural, but not in the spirit. Everything looks nice. The best possible time to sail. That is why they don't believe Paul. There was no physical confirmation. No physical confirmation. But Paul had it in the spirit. Theorio includes a manifestation of the voice of the Holy Spirit that can come in many ways. It can come in a vision. It could come through him speaking and giving some details. And apparently Paul seemed to know what is about to take place. We cannot pinpoint the exact time the angel appeared to him. But he says that an angel appeared to him right on the ship. All we do know that it took a matter of days. In verse 19, on the third day, chapter 27, verse 19 in the book of Acts, on the third day we threw the ship's tackle overboard and with our own hands. And they neither did they see the stars nor the sun for many days. Imagine the darkness. It really is in the thick of the storm. They never saw the sun either. So apparently, it was about 3 days, right? About 3 days. From the time he said, "I perceive," to the time that he said, "An angel stood with me." That's not too far. And a theory will work with what we are going to see next week. How that before the Holy Spirit manifests something, before the Spirit manifests something, our spirit seems to pick it up. A sort of knowing and expectancy that comes. Just like the ringing of a phone. When the phone rings, you know that somebody is on the other side for you. And before a manifestation, before the Holy Spirit's voice speaks, before a vision or something wonderful, your spirit perceives it. That's how sometimes the enemy could pick up some things from his side. He's a spirit being. About, in 1986, about a week before the Lord appeared to me, my spirit had an expectancy that I didn't know what it was fully. But it seems that God was preparing something. And I was speaking to this brother who also had Jesus appear to him about 3 times in Melbourne. And he said, the weeks before Jesus appeared to him, Jesus spoke to him. There was a preparation in his spirit also. His spirit picked up holiness, holiness, holiness. Preparing himself. My spirit picked it up. But the strange thing is, the week before Jesus appeared, a demon appeared. They seem to perceive something. So before I saw Jesus, I saw one of those. It must have been one of his warring demons. Came right into the living room. Stood about 6 feet from me. I stare at the guy stare back. Most demons, when I stare at them, they get frightened. But this guy stare back. So I know he's among the first rank. They're very... I don't know what word to use there. But they try to be steady. And it was only when I used that name that the person move off, but seemed to move off reluctantly. Like Howard, exactly like what Howard Pittman said. They are very active. The smaller demons, you just come near, they scream. You look at them, they are frightened. You know, we cast out demons before. If it was some of the lower demons, right, you just look. And the demon-possessed person don't even dare to stare into your eyes. But the higher rank are different. Howard Pittman said that when he was taken to the heavenlies, he saw Satan's warring demons marching, dressed in their armor. And he said there was one of these warring demons who marched right to Howard Pittman and put his eyes that close. I mean, there is a warring demon. It's a good thing he knew his position in the Lord. I tell you, young Christians will scream.
get near, don't get near.
And he put his eyes very close and never flinch. Then he walked away. These are warring demons. Of course, we don't have to be afraid of them. We use the name of Jesus. But the strange thing is, I sometimes wonder, how did these demon spirits pick up what God is going to do? They don't know what God is going to do, but they seem to know that God is about to do something. Is it at a time when the Exodus was about to take place? There was a terrible slaughter that is, of course, demonically inspired. Right when Moses was born. I mean, he was an instrument that God was going to use. Right at that time, he stirred up a persecution to kill all the Hebrew males. And just before Jesus, just after Jesus was born, before Jesus grew up, you remember that King Herod was inspired by the devil to kill all the children from 2 years old and under, right about the age of Jesus. So demon spirit seems to pick up spiritual activities that are going on. They don't know everything, but they do know there's some activity. So sometimes they're just hanging around to find out. Daniel, when he fasted and prayed 21 days, by the time Gabriel broke through to him and gave him the message and revelation in after 21 days, Gabriel said that on his way, the prince of Persia hindered him, and Michael the archangel had to come and help Gabriel. There are some activities up there. So we realize that just as the enemy pick up some things, we should even more, because we know our God and God is our Father, pick up in our spirit what the Spirit is about to do, what the Holy Spirit is about to do. That's what I call anticipation. Our spirit picks it up. It's just like, you know, if you're just about to go for your first trip somewhere, it's like my kids, before we go for a trip, they always say, when is Tuesday? If you're going on Tuesday, then when is Tuesday coming? How many more days is Tuesday? How long is Tuesday? And the night before, Monday night, they could hardly sleep. They, when will tomorrow come? And the funny thing is, when you're there and you're on your way back, they always say, when will we get home? When will we reach home? We only started, and they say, when are we going to go home? When are you going to reach home? Especially when you go on a long journey. And sometimes you get on a plane and you're going to travel to another country. They say, I'm excited. No? Then after a few hours, they say, when will we reach there? And on your way back, they say, when will we reach home? You just step onto the plane. They expect that, they expect to travel like in heaven. You think and it's there. So there's this physical anticipation. Physical anticipation. When there's something, and as we grow in life, we seem to adapt to all these things, and we take things cool and calm. But I remember in the early days, when things are being done the first time, I remember the first time I was to leave home and go for the ministry, travel 500 miles to the seminary. I could hardly sleep that night. Excited, could hardly sleep, just roll about, not because of prayer burden, but because there was an excitement in the natural. Right? There's spiritual excitement, but it's more in the natural. Right? God would rather have you rest and sleep. Now, there's this excitement that was there, and all your hormones are activated. And so in the spirit, there is also an excitement and expectancy that our spirit picks it up. Now, theorio includes that. Theorio includes that you can expect with a perception, with theory, or you can expect and anticipate a manifestation. Maybe you're going to see an angel. Maybe you're going to see the Lord Jesus. Maybe you're going to have a tremendous vision. Maybe you're going to experience something you never experienced before. An expectancy that is there. Sometimes I have it with the inward witness of the fourth and fifth one. Remember, inward witness, five types of inward witness, right? Fourth and fifth. And it comes together with that, and there's this strange warming of the heart, like Luke chapter 24. They said, didn't our hearts warm when he spoke to us? This expectancy, and you know that there's something tremendous. I know that there's going to be not just a normal move of the Spirit, but a real outpouring before it comes. My spirit picks it up. See, I preach all over the place, and sometimes as I go to a meeting, my spirit begins to pick up what he's going to do there. And I know the level of anointing that is going to flow at that place. And if it's an overflow, the spirit signals. You know it. So there is this, what we call a perception with theorio. You would sort of perceive and you would know. That's from the spirit side. Now on the other side of the voice of the Holy Spirit, it seems that the voice of the Holy Spirit, before he manifests, we would give some signals that we're going to see next week. How what type of signals he give and what experiences take place before that. Praise God. So for now, we just conclude with the perceiving in the spirit and the three different levels of perceiving, or three different areas of perception in the spirit, and familiarize ourselves with that area and learn to be led by the spirit in that area. Praise God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your grace in our lives. We ask, oh Father God, as you train our spirits, you teach us, Lord, to be more and more sensitive to you. We ask, oh Father God, that you quicken our ears, our eyes, and all our spiritual perception, that we would know the manifestation and the voice of the Holy Spirit when he speaks unto us. We promise to always give all the worship, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Let's rise together. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I lost my way, but still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear, as long as you are near. Please hold me to your side. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Praise God. Give Jesus a clap of offering. God bless you.